Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Again, I want to separate Mark Walter's financial situation from the success that he had with the Dodgers. So Genie asks or negotiates this window with Mark Walter when all that the vast majority of us knew about Mark Walter was the success that he had with the Dodgers, who, yeah, they're in a bit of a slump right now, but are still favorites, I believe, to win the World Series this year and complete the first three-peat in baseball in decades. As it was, I think they were the first team to repeat in 25 years. That's a great comment from That Savage. Now I see why they couldn't give LeBron a decent roster after 2020. Yeah, it's just too much bullshit going on. But anyway, so at a time when all anybody knew about Mark Walter and his group was the way that they transformed the Dodgers from the mess that it was under the McCourts to the behemoth that it is now, where they are such a juggernaut that baseball might be heading towards a lockout because of it. Genie was like, yeah, that's cool, all the success that you've had over there. But Rob and the Rambi and I got this. Don't worry about it. Like, we're good. And, I should have paid closer attention to that as kind of a statement of Genie's priorities. And, you know, now you fast forward to right now where, at a time where, sure, I don't know like how Iger and Kushner are going to run the Lakers. I truly don't know. Nobody can know right now. But at a time where I think everybody is just ready to kind of move on and everybody is, you know, like just like, let's turn the page. Let's forget that Walter thing happened. Let's honestly forget a lot of this nonsense that was taking place with the Buss family. At a time where I think if you were to poll Lakers fans, they would honestly overwhelmingly vote, let's just rip the Band-Aid off and move forward. And I think that, you know, now fighting the way and like dragging this out potentially into training camp, which starts in like weeks, potentially, Jeannie Buss would rather potentially go to court and draw this thing out in court and have this knockdown drag out in court at a time where the Lakers don't have a starting caliber power forward. Again, basketball. This is a basketball team. Like that tells me that this is no longer and maybe has never been about what is actually best for the Lakers. And it has actually always been about what has been better for Jeannie Buss and her friends. And I, for one thing, like one red flag has always been like, I've always been iffy about people who had a closer group of friends than their like family and their siblings. That's always like, that's always been a little weird to me. And that seems to have been the case with Jeannie and her friends. And then, you know, secondly, it's a situation here where like Dan Wojcicki reported in his article, and it made me laugh when I read it, but in the article that Dan Wojcicki wrote for The Athletic today, he was talking about how all of this ambiguity and all of this questions about Lakers leadership and stuff like that has played a role in the Lakers' ability to fill out the front office. I laughed at it because it's like that feels like Rob being like, oh yeah, sorry guys, my hands are tied. I don't know what to do here. Like if it is in fact impacting or making it harder for the Lakers to fill those positions that would help them put a better basketball product on the court, then to me, it's not even a question anymore. Like it's just rip the Band-Aid off and move forward. I truly don't know how this is going to play out between the five siblings who voted to sell and the notion of Jeannie Buss as the controlling governor. I don't know. Like I'm not a trust lawyer. I've spoken to a few people and gotten kind of a split decision. But like for the most part, it's just kind of like I don't want to know how this is going to play out. I just want to be done with all of this.
Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape, we're crunching the numbers to bring you sleepers, busts, weekly starts and advice. Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.
I spent 25 minutes trying to set the table for how we arrived here. You know how complicated and convoluted that story was? I'm sick of caring about that stuff. And I'm not saying that Bob Iger and Josh Kushner might not bring some of that stuff too. All of these owners probably suck to some degree as a human being. But at the end of the day, if you were to ask yourself, what is best for the Lakers right now? I just can't imagine that a drawn out litigation between siblings on what matters more, 5-1 votes or a controlling governor's vote, when, you know, the season is getting ready to start. And by the way, this is all taking place the year before Luka Doncic, or as Luka Doncic is looking around at the landscape of not just the Lakers and you know, the team that he currently plays for, but also the rest of the league to try to figure out, like, is this what's best for me and my career moving forward? Like, I wouldn't want this to be one. Like, Luka Doncic's first impression with the Lakers so far, a year and a half in, has been Rob Pelinka trading for the center that he wanted, and then having to rescind that trade because they didn't do enough intel on that player and found out he has a bad enough back that they were able to rescind the trade. And then, you know, Luka then watched these people, Jeannie, Rob, the Rambi, like run LeBron out of town. he then, by the way, like watched a not just a trade deadline after he was brought in kind of go by, but a full transaction cycle later in the summer when the Lakers told him, just wait till next summer. LeBron's contract comes off of the books. I know it's a year of your prime, but like, just wait. We promise that offseason is going to be good enough to make up for waiting for this one. He waited for that summer. He waited through another trade deadline when he got that same message, arrived at this offseason, and the Lakers didn't have the assets to build the roster that was worth waiting a year and a half to arrive to. And then that's the basketball aspect of his experience so far. But you extract from that, or you extend those potential frustrations. And yes, he was very active in helping build out this roster, but I don't think this is a good enough roster to compete for the championships that he is expected to compete for. As all of that's going on, he watched the Buss family sell to Mark Walter. And then had this weird 5-year dynamic that he was supposed to wait for, and then found out that the owner that they sold to wasn't wealthy enough to afford the Lakers and was in the middle of a federal investigation. And then that owner has to then sell to Bob Iger and to Josh Kushner. Another set of owners that Luka will have to learn about and from, as part of this process again. And like all of this in a year and a half, a season and a half, like ask yourself, if you were Luka Doncic, like this feels a lot like that meme, right? Where it's like, damn, you live like this. That's how Luka has to be looking at the Lakers. Was like, damn, like this is how you guys are living? Is this just like reality for you? Is this is what reality is going to be for me moving forward? And by the way, Bob Iger, as Harrison pointed out yesterday, Bob Iger is most closely tied to Chris Paul, somebody who Luka Doncic doesn't really like. So like this might, all of this nonsense is taking place at a time when the Lakers were supposed to be putting their best foot forward for Luka. And yeah, like the amount that they can pay him in the extension and Luka's just kind of inherent loyalty might just lead him to re-sign with the Lakers anyway. But would you blame him if he didn't? Would you blame him if he was like, let's hold off on the extension. Let's figure out if you guys are actually going to be around here for the end of that extension. How about that? Again, like if your genie is you going to court once again against your siblings for the hope of continuing to run the Lakers in a way that didn't really maximize the LeBron and AD window, hasn't fully maximized the Luka window to this point, is that what is best for the Lakers? You continuing to run things the way that you have run them, is what is best for the Lakers? I don't think it is. I think it's purely ego driven selfishness that is putting the specific brand that she, you know, keeps on arguing she cares about more than anybody at maybe the greatest risk, much greater risk than Jim Buss ever put it before she fired him. All right, let's answer some questions and send you guys on your merry way. Well, I don't know how merry any of us are, but anyway. Let's see. So Zach 5488, didn't all the siblings have a chance to vote against the sale to Mark Walter? They did. They had that opportunity to vote against it. And the reporting in the moment when it was taking place was kind of split on, who was for and who was against it. So at the time of the initial vote, the reporting on it was that Jeannie was for it, right? Because she negotiated this window for herself. Jeannie was for it because at that time, Jeannie was always voting along Jeanie's lines, which has since changed because Jeanie fired Jeanie. The older brothers, Johnny and Jimmy, Johnny and Jim, they both voted to sell, and that 4-2 number was all that was necessary. Now, there were some rumblings, there was some reporting at the time that initially Jesse and Joey were against selling the team. And that's part of why they were so quickly fired, was the speculation at the time. But it turns out eventually, you know, they kind of they tried to, you know, save face a little bit, voted to sell alongside the rest of the siblings, and that was how that decision was first come to in the first place. This opportunity to sell now only came by way of Walter selling to Iger and Kushner, which is why when Jeanie caught wind that Walter was getting ready to sell to Iger and Kushner, she reportedly set up this meeting to lock down those votes as they were in the first place so that she continue on for the next 4 years as controlling governor. But once the Buss siblings found out about that, they said, nope, not doing that. Instead, let's just sell whatever we continue to own now to Iger and Kushner. And that leads us to this moment now where billionaires are fighting over billionaire things. All right. Let's see. Let's see. I'm going through here. Some funny back and forth here about, like, you know, LeBron being to blame for the dysfunction. I saw that as a couple of tweets out there, and it's been funny to see, like, you know, which members of the Lakers Twitter community Jeanie kind of wrapped her arm around, because that group continues to stand the way that they have. But if you're just looking at this objectively, I don't think that Jeanie continuing on as the owner is what's, in the best interests of the Lakers fans, this organization moving forward. What I would wonder, you know, might come of the next step if Jeanie does win the rights, you know, win this lawsuit potentially against her siblings in this voting dispute. Even if she wins this thing, would Bob Iger and Josh Kushner push to fire her for cause, push to buy those shares for cause, given the amount of distraction that has come from all of this? I don't even know how that works, but if I were Iger and Kushner, I would be like, we really appreciate all the work that the Buss family did to get this brand to where it is now, but we feel we cannot reach the heights that we are striving to reach while we deal with all of this nonsense over there. You guys had your chance. Walter gave you this window. You trusted the wrong guy. You backed the wrong horse. And unfortunately, it's going to cost you the 4 years that you thought you controlled the Lakers for. And, you know, sometimes you bet the wrong, you know, you bet red when black is coming up, you bet black when red was coming up, or you bet either of those colors and green comes up. It's just sometimes how it plays out. It's tough to feel sorry for anybody when it's like, oh no, we have to make an extra $300 million. Like, enjoy that $300 million. If it's really that important to you to continue running, I understand. So, like, there's this thing about Jeanie where, one of the things I've heard about Jeanie and noticed about Jeanie is that, like, she's like some of the people that I know and who death is kind of difficult for her to wrap her head around, or, you know, to move on from, especially with people that she respects and loves. And with her dad, you kind of see that with her dad. There's an episode of a Netflix show where she speaks to a medium
with the hope that she could reconnect with her dad through that medium on Netflix. I don't know if it's still even on Netflix there, but it was a Netflix show that she appeared in an episode for. And then the way that I have heard that she talks about Kobe is, you know, like Dennis Schroeder mentioned it in that one podcast episode where he's like, yeah, you know, Rob is just constantly talking about Kobe. Jeannie is that. And then some, to the point where I've heard that like LeBron was fighting this losing battle where anytime LeBron or Rich Paul or anybody from Clutch would do something that Jeannie or Rob didn't like they would, Jeannie specifically would, you know, frequently say, Kobe would have never done that. And it's just, you know, I'm not saying that LeBron was blameless. You know, obviously him pushing for Russell Westbrook the way that he did, and Rob also pushing for Russell Westbrook, Jeannie pushing for Russell Westbrook, and those three entities agreeing to trade for Russell Westbrook, like that set the organization back decades, or at least years, seasons. You know, at the end of the day, I think a lot of this dysfunction that you're seeing, you know, like as soon as LeBron is gone, like it tells me that LeBron was, you know, a mask for a lot of nonsense that was taking place. And it kind of reminds me of Peyton Manning back in the day, where the Colts were this kind of shitty organization. They draft Peyton Manning, they start winning 13, 14, 15 games a season. Peyton Manning gets hurt, and they immediately win like one game the following season. It just this feels a lot like that, where, you know, the Lakers, you know, have been kind of drugged to relevance by LeBron and his ability to fight off Father Time the way that he has. And, you know, to Rob Pelinka's credit, he was able to you know, convince Nico to trade Luka, though there are some people you talk to who just say Nico just really, really, really wanted Anthony Davis. But they took advantage of that situation and they extended this window the way that they did. But end of the day, it's just kind of like all of that stuff, the infighting, the rowing in the wrong direction, the tug of wars that have taken place within the Lakers walls. It's, you can see how, and then that combined with, you know, the paranoia that has kind of seeped into Jeannie and her inner circle about leaks and stuff like that. Like you can kind of see how this organization just hasn't been running at an optimal level. And for somebody to sue over the right to continue running it that way, or it's just, that's not what's best for this team. Let's see. The mistake that Anthony made is that he thought the Dodgers model could be employed in the NBA. You can't just overspend in the NBA. All right, Sean, I get this constantly. The notion that I, somebody who began my career covering baseball, would not know that they don't have a cap, a salary cap over there. And the NBA does, the NBA, by the way, a league that I've been covering for 15 years, does have a salary cap. Just give me a tiny little bit of credit. The Dodgerification of the Lakers wasn't just going to be that, you know, the Lakers were going to spend all the way into the second apron so deeply that eventually they would install a third apron. No, that wasn't ever what I was talking about. What I was talking about was that when Mark Walter took over, he said, all right, we are going to hire Andrew Friedman away from the Tampa Bay, at that time, Devil Rays. Maybe they are the Rays already, but regardless, we're going to hire Friedman away from the Rays. We're going to hire Anthopoulos away from the Blue Jays. We're going to hire Farhan Zaidi away from the A's, or Zaidi, as somebody told me I should be saying his name. And there's always this one more guy who I always forget, but I think he's currently running the Rockies. He basically said, all right, four horsemen, you guys come in. Stan Kasten, who had success with the Braves in the past. You guys come in. We're going to spend oodles of money on the minor league system, and we're going to spend oodles of money on development and medical advancements and advantages. We're going to spend like every single way that we can spend, we are going to spend. And yes, that also extended into their roster, but the Lakers have never done any of those things. The Lakers have never done like their scouting department is non-existent right now. They went through an entire draft process and their big hire was a consultant who said like whose job it was to like look for wings, you know, and it's the Lakers organization just doesn't run in a way that allows it to compete consistently with the other organizations around the league that do run that way. Lakers still don't employ a shooting coach. Everybody always complains about the fact that all of these guys show up to the Lakers who they trade for or acquire to shoot the basketball well, and they forget to shoot as their Lakers. They don't employ a shooting coach. Like, so all of these things, Sean, that I talk about when I talk about the Lakers needing to be Dodgerfied, of course, I mean some additions to the roster and, you know, ensuring that luxury taxes would never cost the Lakers Alex Caruso ever again. But far more importantly was the spending on scouting, on development coaches, on individual course coaches, on trainers and doctors, on analytical departments, on scouting, like all of these things that the Lakers just historically have not prioritized. Those are the things that I wanted the Lakers to improve with. And I thought that Mark Walter would be able to eventually improve those things with. And initially the thought was he would get there and he would be able to do that right away. Except that the person standing in the way of him doing those things and spending that way was Jeannie Buss, because she thought the way that she had been running the Lakers recently was significantly better and is a more successful tactic than the ways that the Dodgers had been run recently. That is the point that I'm trying to make there. It's never been about just about the spending on the roster. It's like a tiny little bit of credit. All right. I think I'm going to wrap things up here because I have to go pick up the oldest. Yeah, thanks, Rod. The mistake that Sean made is thinking Anthony doesn't know anything about baseball. The thing is, I played baseball my whole life. I've been a crazy Dodgers fan. Like the group chats that I have about the Dodgers, I am a crazy person in. You guys think that I hold the Lakers to a high standard, or that I'm like reactionary about the Lakers. That's how I'm about the Dodgers to the nth degree. Covered them, played baseball, all that stuff. Like it's the way that look, it's a bummer because I think eventually it's going to end with Walter where he's going to have to sell the Dodgers too. And I don't know that the next owner is going to be step in and do things exactly the same way. I don't want to see the Dodgers fall back to the McCourt era. But it might, you know, and it's all just because, you know, billionaires are allowed to treat their companies like credit lines. And apparently who gets to and who doesn't get to is decided at the whims of who knows whom. And a lot of these things are going to come to an end. But the same hope that I had for Mark Walter and Josh Kushner, the same hope I had for Mark Walter, I'm going to hold for Bob Iger and Josh Kushner, in that just start spending on the basketball. Start spending and start hiring at the same level that, or ideally at a higher level than the rest of the league. Stop with this mom and pop bullshit in a multi-billion dollar industry. It's just that's all I've been asking for. But anyway, we're going to go ahead and get out of here. Please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Turn on notifications, all that good stuff. Today's show is brought to you in part by PrizePicks. Use that promo code HMA. And until tomorrow, when who knows what I'll be talking about, hopefully basketball. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. And I'll talk to you then or soon. Who knows?